Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 307, part 1, Calmness, part 2. Today is Friday, August 30th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Message is entitled Untangling. Untangling. We've been ministering on the fruit of the Spirit for the last 10 messages. We ended up last Sunday then with saying the Holy Spirit brings calmness. And I'd like to say a few more things about calmness, and then we'll go on in this series, and I'll wrap it up tomorrow, and it'll be a 12-tape packet that we'll be giving out as gifts, and I think it'll be a good one. I'd like to say this, and I'll probably go back on what I said just a little. A statue is not calmness. I mean, a person that just stands still and doesn't do anything. Sort of petrified, and that's not calmness. It's death. It's the silencing of all energies. Someone that just says, well, I'm not going to do anything. That's not calmness. Well, I believe no man lives his life more fully, more intensely, more consciously than the man who is calm. He has a, are you hearing this? A calm reserve. It's a sort of a, let's go on with life, but let's wait and see what this person has to say. Add it all up. Sum it all up. Filter through it. Be calm. And go on. Because there's a lot of fatalists in our world today. That's not being calm. Are you hearing this? The fatalist is not calm. No, he is a coward slave to his environment. Hopelessly surrendering to his present condition, recklessly indifferent to his future. Well, that's just the way it is, he may say. And probably he accepts his life as a rudderless ship drifting on the oceans of time. So he just says, well, that's just the way it is. That's the way my life is, one thing after another, and he's sort of a fatalist. He has no compass, he has no chart, no sense of direction, no known port to which he is sailing. And sort of just drifts through life. Well, if I get hit in the head, I get hit in the head, and that kind of thing. And so in his self-confessed inferiority to all nature is shown in his existence. Constant surrender. No tenacity, no fighting. Just always, well, I just give up, that kind of a guy. That's not calmness. Because they have no inner witness from the Holy Ghost. A person filled with the Holy Ghost, a lot of times you're going to see a lot of action out of them. The man that has the Holy Spirit calmness, I believe, has his life clearly marked, his direction clearly marked on his chart. He knows where he's going, but not all at once. Believe then I could say his hand is always on the helm in the storm, in the fog, in the night, tempest, danger. His hand is always on the helm. Hidden reefs, he is ever ready for them. Because you see, his inner witness is the Holy Spirit. Doesn't get shook by what people have to say. And they have a lot to say. No, see, his inner witness is the Holy Ghost. That makes him calm and serene by the realization of that. That in these crises of his voyage, his life, that he needs a clear mind and a cool head. And I believe he also knows that he has to do each day as best he can by the light that he has. And then says, well, I've done all I can for this day with the light that I have. Maybe someone else would have a different arrangement. But this man will never flinch, he'll never falter. Oh, he may leave his course once in a while, but he never drifts. He will keep ever headed toward his harbor. When he will reach it and how he will reach it matters not to him. He just knows he's going to reach it. Friends, we are on a voyage through here. I was watching some of these debates on Channel 31. They have this Bork thing, and then they have what would happen if the president this and what, and all these different what ifs. And I watched all that, and then you watch this presidential coming together here for the next election. And now each one is putting each one down, and then they just thought, okay, I quit. Well, I thought, what are they going to do if they quit that quick? What are they going to do when they get in with a country? And some of these heavy-duty Russians and Chinese and people like that start laying hurts on them. No, I believe that the man has to be led by the Holy Spirit, and then he'll never flinch and he'll never falter. He may change course for a time, but he never drifts. Because he rests in calmness, knowing that he's done his best. Now, I know this, that no man is ever permitted to see his future life, the finality of it. You don't want to see that. In fact, if I would have known all at once what it would have entailed coming down here to the mission on the north side, having it so cushy out there in the suburbs, and doing my evangelistic trips and the little ministry over in Wisconsin and having it all cushy. And if I would have seen this in its entirety and its finality up to this point, I never would have came down here. People would have convinced me that it was of the devil, or you wouldn't have to suffer that way, because that was in the age of claim and that there's no kind of suffering and all of that. And praise God, God had shown me whilst I was out there on the north side that there is suffering in the body of Christ, and it became very unpopular preaching that. Were you hearing that? I mean, it was very... The tapes that I made during that time on suffering saints was never accepted. Now there's a lot of saints that are suffering. And they're going to have to accept him whether they want to or not. So praise God that no man is permitted to see his future life, the finality of it. And God commits to man only new beginnings. Every day is a brand new beginning. God is only going to commit that to you. Well, God, what do you got in store for me? I got a new beginning for you. Every step is a new beginning. Well, isn't that exciting? Leaving those things that are past, pressing forward one step at a time. And it says, commit your ways unto the Lord, your legs, your walk. You're only going to get committed new beginnings. Well, that means if there's a new beginning, that 5 minutes ago is over with. What are you going to do with this brand new beginning? This is a beginning here tonight. It'll have an end. All good things, it says, must come to an end. So God only commits brand new beginnings to us. Isn't that exciting? Doesn't that take you out of the dumps? Doesn't it? Now, sometimes we have one great big surge. We have one great big wonderful happening. We hit that like a martini high. And we hit that high, and then down we go. No, it's a brand new beginning. Press forward towards the high mark, the calling in Christ. Were you pressing forward towards that situation, and then when it's over, you're all let down? Did you press forward, you listening on the radio, towards that $100,000 or that $1 million, and when you attain that, then everything, oh man, you lost it? Press forward. Every second is a brand new beginning. What are you going to do with it? Now it says, once you pick up the plow, don't turn back. It says, press forward. God is not going to give you the finality of your life not 2 weeks ahead of time. Are you going to know what's going to happen? You know your bills are going to come if you're alive. If the world is still here as we know it now, and hey, things are happening out there. And God commits only new wisdom to you. You learn from your mistakes, but you go on towards a brand new beginning. Don't people never learn? They never learn that once they hit that plateau of happiness, that you don't slide into the dumps again. You press forward towards the brand new beginning. Left, right, press forward. Now, there's the mental hospitals that are full of people that would not press forward. For some unknown reason. Either fear came in or they just got too tired. Huh? See, when you're not too smart like a baby, and Jesus says, come as a child, if you'll be as a child, you'll accept them brand new beginnings every day you wake up. Well, I wonder what I can get into today. It's a brand new, exciting beginning. Come as a child. Come with the excitement and the expectation that Jesus is going to give you a brand new beginning. No, you didn't sell anything today, okay, Lish? What has that got to do with tomorrow? Huh? No, it's a brand new beginning. Something new is in store. A lot of times people are oblivious to things that happen around them because they're not living in the brand new beginning. Expectation, the Bible says, now faith. It doesn't say tomorrow's faith, yesterday's faith. It says right now. Now faith is. It's a prepositional thing. It's a going on. Now faith is the substance of things. What? Hope for. Are they there? No, they're hope for. Now faith. Anyway, the new days to use to the very best of his knowledge. Whew. Isn't that exciting? See, listen, radio audience, if you can grab a hold of this, every day is exciting. Glory to God. Every day. And when you reach that plateau of what you're going for, you're going to buy a new car. So many people get that brand new car. Then they get the new car, and 2 days later, they're in a dump. So it got dirty, or it got a little scratch on it. Or something took them away from their happiness. Oh, but they're always looking at the situation. Because, see, this calmness has to come from deep within. It's something, like I said Sunday, something that you have to learn. Study yourself, the Bible says, to be quiet. Shut up. Be calm. And so calmness, then, is the crown of self-control. Wow. Self-control means you have in reserve, deep within, a calmness for situations that are going to come into your life. And there are always situations that are going to come into your life. Guy asked me the other day, he says, you ever make mistakes? I says, yeah. My life is a series of mistakes. All things are working together for good. Oh, what do you mean? Total mistakes? No, I didn't do them perfect. But you learn, and even the world says, you learn from your mistakes. You go on. You don't get stuck in the same mistake. You'll go ahead and make another one. Oh, gee, that's too negative for me. Somewhere in your perfect plan of self-righteousness, somewhere, you're going to make a mistake. Did you make a mistake this week? Somewhere in the perfect week you're going to have, did you make a mistake? I did. Somewhere. Can you pick out that it was all perfect all the way through? Now, are you going to get stuck on that one nitpicking thing? Or are you going to learn from it? Are you going to gather up all the good things that did happen and praise God for those things? Are you going to get stuck in that self-defeating, putrid, morbid, melancholy state? Oh, it's all over now. No, there's no more fun to have. There's a new beginning. You've got to have the morning after. Isn't there a song like that? There is always the morning after. Now, for the drunk, it isn't a very good morning. But for the person that has self-control, that has that crown of self-control, calmness. Wow. See, when the worries and the cares of the day fret you and wear on you and cause friction, what are you going to do? Be calm. Just be calm. Stop and rest a minute. Somebody gets to you. Stop and rest. Parade rest. And let calmness and peace assert themselves. They'll come. When things mount up, well, the world even says it, they say count to 10. You ever heard that? Now, before you blow your stack, count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Gives you time to think it over, doesn't it? See, if you let these irritating outside influences get the best of you, you are confessing your inferiority to them by permitting them to dominate you. Are you hearing this? You want to hear this? You listening on red? You want to hear it? Well, then listen up. Step back and look at them. Look at your situation realistically. Bind Satan in the name of Jesus. Look on to the Lord. Praise God and go on. Well, yeah, but I made this terrible mistake. Hey, no one's perfect. Especially those that judge other people's mistake. They are mistaken because they have made a mistake in judgment. And as they judge, the Bible says, so also shall they be judged. When the tongues of malice, or even the tongues of slander, and boy, is there a lot of that going on in government and in churches and all over the place, tempt you to retaliate. Maybe you just like to go up and tell somebody off. Huh? I just like to give that person a piece of my mind. Well, why don't you give them poison? That'd be easier on them. No, just be calm. You know, having the last word is never the last word. No, because see, you have to live with the last word. You have to go to bed with the last word, wake up with the last word. And the other person has forgot about it. I was reading about birds, and we were talking about birds the other day and bird watching, and how many people are going out there, instead of shooting birds with guns, they're shooting them, they're taking shots with their cameras. And there's a story about the red heron. When it's pursued by its enemy, the eagle, it doesn't run away to escape. It wouldn't do him any good. No, it remains calm, this book says. It takes sort of a dignified stand and waits quietly, facing the enemy, unmoved. Just looks right up. Unmoved, unscathed, looking straight up into the sky towards the eagle. And the eagle swoops down and hits him full force. And this is the boasted king we're talking about now. This boasted king, the book says, is often run through with the lance-like bill of the heron. Well, what are you saying? Someone just said on the radio. The means that a man, I'm saying, takes to kill another's character, listen to this, becomes the suicide of his own. That's the way it is. Somehow, somewhere, the boomerang of nature pays back. And now in this political race I was watching tonight, the caucuses and the different ones fighting back and forth and punishing one another, the boomerang comes back. And in the Christian world, you're seeing the very same thing. Exposations of people's lives have boomeranged now, and the whole group is suffering for lack of funds. The very means that were used to destroy, undermine, undercut, have destroyed, in fact, the destroyer. Be calm. Don't worry about having the last word. And God will have his way. And many times people, I believe, when they do that, they have opened themselves up to Satan. Guard your mouth. Guard your mouth. Well, there's times you should use your mouth. Like when someone's giving a brother or sister a hard time, and you don't say anything, that not saying anything is means you agree with it. Wow. That boomerang I can hear. Better duck. Some of you folks out there in government, better duck. That boomerang is going to come back. Some of you church people out there, and some of the television ministries and people out there, that boomerang is going to come right back. Whatsoever that you sow, so also shall you reap. And then if you don't sow anything, if you don't sow good, you don't say anything when you should say something, a lot of tears grow up in your own heart. You feel lousy about yourself. Are you hearing this message? Woo! See, we don't have to get upset when the evildoers get rich. Or they prosper, the Bible says. It says, don't stand in the path of the wicked. Why? You might get hit by their boomerang. Yeah. In this day and age, we must learn calmness. In other words, practice calmness. Don't blow your cool. Everybody's blowing their cool. People can go off at anything. Are you hearing this? Totally lose it. I went to the bank This is later this evening. It was over in St. Paul. And there were two girls talking back and forth like I wasn't even there, and she was taking care of my business, and I had five transactions I had to make. And they were talking back and forth about some boyfriend, and then the one girl said something that irritated the other. She says, "Oh, I'm sorry I said that." "No, that's all right." She says, I'm standing there. "That's all right." They're talking back and forth between these two windows. "Oh, that's all right. I deserve it. I'm a stinker." But see, she was resentful. Who'd she take it out on? Me. Naturally. So she says, "Sir, you probably didn't notice, but you didn't put down your checking account number down below your endorsement." "Well, I've never done that in the whole of my life." "Oh," I said, "I'm sorry, I'll do it next time." She says, "Well, I certainly hope so." And I said, "Well, listen, now, you don't have to go through all that. Just tell me and I'll obey. I understood you." I was calm with her. And she says, "All right, I will tell you then. Put that down below your signature." Well, I remained calm. And I have to admit, it was not easy for me. But I did. Now, she has to work there the rest of this night with that monkey on her back. Huh? Now, I could have picked up on that anger and got real good and angry. I thought, no, I've said my say. I'm not going to make a fool out of myself in front of all these people here. And this girl was so frustrated that at any time she could have went screeching down the corridors and down the skyway, and I didn't want to be in on that thing. So I just backed off. Okay, and then she says, "Well," we were all done, she says, "have a real nice weekend now." But it didn't come off right, did it? I said, "Oh, okay." The world right now is a powder keg. And you can talk to them, it's like they don't understand what you're talking about. Isn't that right, Jim? "No, we're all out of sandwiches." "But I want a sandwich." "But we're all out." "But I want one." "Ain't you got just one left?" "No, I have none left." "There's none left." Now, you could have blown it. You didn't, but you could have blown it. You could have picked the guy up by the seat of his pants, the nack of his neck, and threw him like a bale of hay and just said, I am the champion hay tosser here, and I'm going to make hay right now. Here you go, out into the railroad tracks." It was hard. But you were an overcomer, more than an overcomer, through Christ who strengthened you. Hey, and those situations are coming up more and more and more. In sales, I'm sure you have it all the time, where you could stick your foot in your mouth. Well, you know, you're not very in, you can't hardly understand what we're saying sometimes. We're mad and then we stick our foot in our mouth? Come on now. Now listen to this. I believe right now that demon power is increasing. And I believe also people must be made aware of the Holy Spirit and its power of calmness, and that they can have it. You can have, radio audience, the power of calmness. My mother was out here. She was picking up some tomatoes and squash, and then we had other things out here. We had peaches, and we had different things out here on the grass out here, corn on the cob and so on. She got out, and her whole head was just like furrows, you know. And she was so uptight about this daughter moving back in with her again that she just had to talk. So she got out and she looked at me, and I didn't know her from anything. She just started talking. She needed counsel. She had to get it out. I got this daughter coming, and I'm here, you know. She had on a nurse's outfit, and I have a daughter that's moving back in with me again. And if she's going to be dead weight, she's going to have to move right out of there. I'm not going to put up with dead weight. And then she's got a couple of kids, and I mean, if she's just going to come there and sit there, and so I recognize this is just, you know, she would just had to let it out. So I says, well, I tell you what you do with her. I says, you set down the rules. Now, if you're going to move in here, you don't lay around all day with your house robe on, watching as the world flip-flops. Drink coffee, eat bonbons, and let your kids finger paint on the walls with peanut butter and jam. This is Granny's house, and Granny is in charge here. Do you get it? Do you understand it? And you're going to have to go to work, and you're going to have to find a babysitter, because you aren't going to stay here. I'm giving you 1 year, and then you're going to have to move out. There's no company, and at 10 o'clock, the TV is off, and Granny goes to bed, and the rest go to bed. Can you follow those rules? Then I says, you'll stop talking to yourself. See, I says, sometimes when you're talking to your children, when you're talking to loved ones, you're talking to yourself because they don't hear you. They don't want to hear you. I said, you remain calm in this situation, but you lay down the ground rules. Isaiah 43:2 says, when thou passest through the waters, they shall not overflow thee. Isn't that good? When you pass through the waters of trial, when you pass through the waters of your Red Sea escape, they will not overflow thee. You will not be overcome. You are more than overcomers through Christ, who give you strength in that hour. But anyway, God does not open up these paths for us in advance of our coming. God, open them up before we get there, so I'll have a peace of mind. No, Jesus says, I'll give you peace, not peace that the world gives, like Social Security, that they can take away. At any time, they can say, sorry, door's closed. No, not as the world gives, retirement plan. Different saving incentives. And somebody skips off to Switzerland, standing on a mountain with a short pants and a little hat with a feather in it, whistling Dixie, while you're broke. Come on now. God does not open paths for us, I said, in advance of our coming. Oh, Paul's coming. I must open up all the different paths so he can pass right through. Oh, angels, open the paths. Hurry up. And I want to give him a schedule of what's going to happen. And a whole schedule here for Paul on his whole life. So he'll know exactly what's going to happen. And he won't have to worry ever again. That's the charismatic movement. Someone telling you in advance exactly what's going to happen, what they foresee for you. God says, I'll give it to you one step at a time. Are you against the charismatic movement? No, I'm in it. But there's a segment that went charismatic crazies. Mark it down. Say amen, somebody. Totally nuts. Well, can't you claim that? Jesus, open up the paths for me. I'm a coming on through. Well, who do you think you are? You listening on radio, who do you think you are that you in advance, days ahead of time, you can say, I claim it in the name of Jesus. A word was spoken to me the other night, and it was said that all paths are going to be smooth. Was Jesus' paths all smooth? Are you greater than your master? Are we not in the times of sorrows and trials and tribulations? Do you want everything in advance? Oh, Lord, just show me the way. Yeah, I will, one step at a time. No, he does not promise help before help is needed. That'd be like you telling your kid, do you want that kid to have tenacity, spiritual muscle, physical muscle? No, anytime you fall down, you call daddy. And anytime any bully comes up, you come and get daddy and daddy knock him down. And see, and you don't even put the guidelines in for the child. You do everything for him. Don't worry about anything, Junior, from the diaper until you go to the grave. As long as I'm living, the paths are going to be opened up for you and they will be smooth for you. I'll see to it. Do you think God is going to do that for you? Where is the faith walk? That's how crazy it is now. I mean, anything you preach is negative. Isn't it? Well, that's getting old too, isn't it? People are going back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And mighty fast too. Why? There is nothing else. I don't care. You can dig out. Now start digging out all your notes. All you hyper-faith people. Dig all your notes out and your thousands of little pamphlets you got at bookstores and everything on faith. I mean, you got piles of them on your dusty old tables at home. And you got jars full of promises. And you got everything. And you pull, oh, this one's for me. And that one's for me. And this one's for me. And, oh, here's another promise for me. And I look at the promise I found for myself. I'll give you a promise. In this world, you will have tribulation. That's a promise. Oh, God. I hate this kind of preaching. Right in the middle of my deal. Right in the middle of... Tomorrow I'm getting a new job. How can I go in faith with such a nut like this preaching? Like, hey, I'm just telling you like it is. Expect it. You won't be let down either. I haven't never been let down. I always expect it and I always get it. Well, that's because you expect it. No, that's because I get it because I'm supposed to get it. Have you been getting it? But you just haven't claimed that you got it. No, it's just a symptom. It's a devil. No, you've all been getting it. Why don't you admit it? Why don't you become real people, some of you listening on the radio, hyper-faithers? Why don't you just become real, real people? How's it going? Oh, fine. Everything is fine. It's just great. Then go in the closet. No, he does not promise help before help is needed. Well, do you eat when you're full? Do you? Is the farmer promised that he's going to have a bumper crop? No, you can get into farming. It's all scripture. Why? Because it's plant, dig up the weeds. It's sowing and reaping and harvesting and cultivating and put it in the barns. It's all that way. Just like in the kingdom of God. You don't know what's going to happen from one minute to the next. One year you might have a bumper crop. The next year you might nosedive. And Paul says, I have learned to be happy in whatsoever circumstance I am in. Whatever state. My joy, my calmness, my fruit of the Spirit does not depend on what I seek. Praise God for that. Praise God that we don't have to go totally by sight. No, he does not remove, in other words, the obstacles out of our way before we reach them. Excuse me, I'm having a few technical difficulties here. Would you want that anyway? Would you? That all of the obstacles would be taken out of your way. Turn me off for a minute, Mick, till I get this fixed. And yet, when we are on the edge of our need, on the very edge of it, on the very edge of our need, God's hand reaches out The problem is, people, is a lot of times we don't know what we need. Do your children always know what they need? No, they know what they want, but they always don't know exactly what they need. Sometimes they need a spanking. They think they need a sucker. I want that sucker! You're going to get a spanking. Does that make sense to the kid? Now it does next time he knows better. See, a lot of times we don't know what our need is. God, you know my needs. I've heard people pray like that. Lord, I guess you know my needs better than I do, but I'll go through them again. Those are your wants. The whole movement is caught up in what we want. I wanna, 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 wanna. God is going to give you what you need. See, I think a lot of times many forget this and worry about things in advance. I like that song, Don't Worry About Tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow, tomorrow. It'll only bring you sorrow. It brings you sorrow today, worrying about it. Tomorrow, wait and see. Tomorrow, wait and see. Wait, see. But I can't wait. I can't. I can't. I'm going to walk the floor. I can't wait, I can't wait. I am going to walk the floor, walk the floor, walk the floor and worry some more. I can't wait. God, I can't wait! What are you going to have to do anyway? What does the Lord say? What does the Bible say? Wait upon the Lord. Not wait upon the sunlight to come up. Oh, God, I can't wait till tomorrow. You're going to have to wait anyway. It's going to come up right on time. Perfect. Perfect. You see the mistakes we make? We don't call them mistakes. Those are definitely mistakes, aren't they? Aren't they sin? The Bible calls them sin. To worry and fret is sin. Oh, that's not as big a sin as something. They're sin.
That was episode 307, part 1 of Calmness, part 2. Be sure to listen to the conclusion on Sunday. Have a safe and happy Labor Day weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You might be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV You may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe you're a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread, maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody,
serve
yes indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. Still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.